Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, we're going to teach on prayer today. Pam's got my, thank you, Pammy. I've been talking about authority, the authority of the believer. We've been teaching on faith on Wednesday nights. And I've been trying to bring this down, or maybe not to a conclusion, but to bring it kind of to a peak, culminating in prayer, praying the prayer of faith, or praying the prayer of authority, praying with authority. There is power in prayer. You know, I think it was Samuel that said, God forbid that I would sin against God not praying for you. Samuel considered it a sin if he didn't pray for Saul. He said, it would be a sin for me not to do that. I wonder how many of us realize, now I don't want to put condemnation out there for your lack of prayer, but how many of us realize the missed opportunity that we have when we don't pray, the missed grace? You know, even though Jesus has paid it all and everything's ours by faith, it all belongs to us, how many of you have learned by now, you know, if you don't do something, not much happens? You know, if you're supposed to share the gospel with somebody, you know, and you don't do it, not much is going to happen there. If you don't pray about things, nothing much is going to change. We pray from a position of victory and a position of rest, but it's not inactivity. Paul said that we should labor to enter into rest. Christians are not inactive. Paul said that I labored more than anyone, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me. Charlie, it's our faith that when we labor, God is working through us and in us. And we can believe when we pray. There was one guy in the Word that he said that he labored in prayer for, I think it was for the Colossian people, the church at Colossae. This guy, he said he is laboring in prayer for you. That means there's some work going on. He had to labor. Paul talked about struggling mightily in prayer. There's a struggle going on. Paul talked about we don't wrestle flesh and blood. And when he talked about the armor of God, it all culminated in speaking the word and in prayer. He said, you get all this armor on, you get all this on, and we're not wrestling flesh and blood. And what's the end? We pray in all manner of prayer. So we're all armed up. Prayer is the work of the church. Now, Sister Kittle, I'm not saying it's the only work of the church. We know we got to preach the gospel. But even when Paul preached the gospel, he said, pray for me that when I preach the gospel, that I would have utterance. Pray for me that I would be fearless. Pray for me that I would have courage. Pray for me that I would be bold. Peter, they prayed and said, Lord, when we're preaching, we're praying that you'll stretch forth your hand to heal. In other words, they're praying and they're expecting something from God to happen, a transaction from God to happen. How many know that people don't get saved unless the light bulbs come on? Did you know that? People just don't figure it out. The word says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that don't believe. They're blinded. And the light bulbs have to come on. And I'm convinced if the church doesn't pray, there's nothing to pop the light bulbs on. Amen? We should be a praying church. But what is the position of prayer? And this is what I want you to get. I want you to take this home with you. It really came to me powerfully recently when I was reading the Word. And I talked about this, I think, a couple weeks ago. But how Jesus is at the right hand of God right now. 1 Peter 3:22 says, He is gone into heaven, and He is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to Him. Angels, authorities, powers being made subject to Him. In other words, Jesus already has the victory over the devil. Jesus already has the victory over death. Jesus already has the victory over every enemy of God. Says the only enemy right now that's not like directly under His feet yet, although He's defeated it, is death. Everyone's going to die. But there'll even be a day when death is done away with too. Amen? We won't have to die anymore. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more crying. But Jesus already has the victory. So in Matthew 28, when he sent the church out, he said, all power in heaven. And this is what stuck out with me, Sandy, when I read this. It really popped for me. He said, all power in heaven and on earth. Now, Liz, I knew that he had all power in heaven. I knew that. Like Jesus, he's an authority. One day he's coming back, and one day he's going to reign, and one day he has all power in heaven. But Jesus said he had all power in heaven and on earth. That's right now. It says right here that authorities, demons, principalities, powers are subject to him right now at this very moment. All power, all authority has been given to him. And then he commissioned the church. He said, I have all power. I have all authority. He said, now you go and I'll be with you. So the commission was, I have the authority. I have the power. You go in my name. So we're going in the name of Jesus. We're going in the name of a conquering Messiah. He already has the victory. And that's why the battle, Larry, is always a faith battle. We're not trying to win the battle. We're not trying to beat the devil. We're not trying to overcome sin. Jesus has overcome sin. Jesus has overcome the devil. And if you can believe it, Jesus has even overcome sickness. All of these things are already under our feet because we have been raised up and seated with Christ in heavenly places. And we can now pray from a position of authority. That's the position of faith. Now, I know it seems too good to be true, and I know everybody doesn't preach this, but the plain word of God says that Jesus right now has all authority on earth. Is that true or false? I mean, that's what the word says. So if he has all authority and we have access to the king, if we are under his authority and we are praying under his authority and we have his name, we have the ability right now to walk in victory, to announce the gospel and take territory for Jesus on the earth. And I really believe when Jesus left and left it, all he did in the book of Genesis, Sister Evelyn, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, when man was created, in the beginning, it said God gave Adam dominion, and he told him to subdue the earth. That word in the Hebrew, I looked it up, it means to rule. It means to bring under authority. Adam was created to rule on the earth. Did you know that out there? Did you know that? He was created to be God's under ruler. It's almost like God obviously is in charge. But he gave control to Adam. Adam had to take dominion on the earth. And I'm sure God was going to teach him and he was going to walk with him in the garden, give him instructions. Hey, Adam, tomorrow, why don't you work on this, work on that, do this. These are your chores. Him and God are talking and he's teaching him how to rule and reign. But we know the story that Adam turned over his dominion to Satan. I preached on it before. Satan is a usurper. He's still a usurper. He is rebellious. He causes people to be rebellious. He's angry. He's a hater. He's a usurper. He will do anything to take power. He'll lie. He'll impede. He'll impeach. He'll do whatever he can do to take legal authority that God has ordained. Someone say amen. Did I say impeach? Oh, God, forgive me. Hallelujah. He'll do whatever he can do to undermine legitimate authority because everything on earth is based on authority. But God's authority is a loving authority. God is agape. That is self-sacrificing, self-surrendering love. I taught about this on Wednesday night. With God's ruling and reigning, it is the reign, it is the dominion, it is the iron fist of love. Now, it's the gentle fist of love. God's reign and ruling is from agape love. In other words, do you ever notice, and I you know, Sandy, it always kind of bothered me when preachers talk about, well, it's not what we can get from God, it's what we can get. They talk that way, and I know that's true. We should love God because God is beautiful. I know certain preachers preach that a lot. It's the truth. But they kind of sell Jesus short Jesus is love. Have you ever noticed when Jesus met somebody? You study it out, Larry. Study this out. When he met somebody, he always said, "What can I do for you?" He wasn't saying, "Hey, give God glory. God's beautiful. Worship God. You know, don't ask for anything." Jesus never said, "Don't ask for anything." That's a very religious notion, by the way. Of course, God's beautiful and he's worth worshiping if he never gave us anything. But Jesus constantly in the Word, it actually contradicts the Word of God when people say stuff like that. It actually refutes what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Ask." He didn't say don't ask because God's so beautiful and so glorious, you should never ask for anything. That contradicts what Jesus said. Jesus said you have not because you ask not. James, you don't have it because you don't ask for it. Jesus said ask, seek, knock. He walked up to people and said, "What do you want me to do for you? Lord, I'm blind. I want to see. Be healed." He wasn't shy about giving. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down. I'm after a religious devil right now. I'm on the trail. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God doesn't mind you asking. Of course he wants you to fellowship. Of course he wants you to put him first. Of course he wants you to exalt him and praise him. But God encourages you over and over and over again. Ask. He said, "Ask of me and I will give you the healing for your inheritance." He said, "Ask and I'll do great and mighty things." The Word of God is full of Jesus saying, "Ask me." He said in John 14, "Whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it." Does that sound like God is shy about people asking? "Well, I'm so beautiful. Please don't ask me for anything. I'm up here with cherubs on tulips, sitting on lily toads, and I don't want you to bother me, and I don't want you to interrupt me, and I'm so holy and beautiful. Just look at me all the time." No, that's not God's heart. God is a giver. God is an eternal giver. God doesn't need anything from you, Larry. He desires your fellowship. He wants your worship. He wants your praise. But I'll be honest, you don't have anything you can give God except your worship. That's all you got. And you get done worshiping God, and God's going to look at you and say, "Larry, what can I do for you?" Because he's a giver. Think about it. God is a giver. That's what he does. That's who he is. Woo! It blesses me. So when I see when preachers say that, or I don't want to be too hard on it because I know technically they're right, but in another way, if you think it's spiritual and you think it's religious not to ask God for things, you're not only depriving yourself, but you're depriving kids in Haiti from getting the prayers that they need answered. You're depriving sick people from getting healed that you could be praying for. You're depriving yourself of blessing. You know, when you pray for finances, you don't have to keep it. Amen? I pray all the time for money that I don't plan on keeping. I want to be blessed. I hope the Lord leaves a little bit behind so I can buy me a new pair of sneakers. I'd like to have 10 new pair of sneakers. And I hope that God leaves me enough behind that I can get plenty of sneakers. But that's, I'm praying, so I have money. I want to feed hungry kids, don't you? You love Jesus. You love kids. You want to feed. So ask. Say, "God, give me some extra. I want to give. Lord, I want to see more people healed. Lord, stretch forth your hand. Give me wisdom and revelation. Put more on me, Jesus, because I want to lay hands on more sick people and I want to see things happen. I want to see orphans adopted. I want to see babies not aborted. I want to see good things. I want to see people elected to office that love the American people. I might even throw a little bit to someone that I believe in. The first time in my life this past year, I actually gave to a political person. I'm not going to tell you who. If you know me, you know me. I've never done it in my life. But I did this year, and I was glad I was able to do that. I wanted to do it. We need to be... The Word says, "Ask of me great and mighty things," things that you don't know. The Word says, get this, come on now, I'm talking about asking, I'm talking about receiving. The Word says that God can do exceedingly, abundantly, more than you worship him for and call him beautiful. No, he said he can do more exceedingly, abundantly than you can ask or even imagine or think. He can do more. So obviously he wants you to ask. If your bar is, I'm not going to ask him for anything, well, there's not much, it isn't very hard to do more than that, is there? God wants you to ask. He repeatedly requires and asks you to ask me. And he is in a position of all authority and all power in heaven and on earth. And if we're doing God's will and we're seeking God's kingdom, he is going to answer your prayer. I love it. I taught on it Wednesday, 1 John, I think it's 5:15, around there, 5:16. He says, if we pray according to his will, you think God wants people saved? You think he wants kids fed? You think he minds if you pay your bills, Jeff? You think God wants you to pay your bills? You know he does. You think he wants your grandkids blessed? You think he wants you to be the head and not the tail? You think he wants you to be above and not beneath? You think he wants to have you to have joy in your life? You think he wants you to have fruit? Do you think he wants you to have peace in your life? He does. So he has the ability to do it. So he said, if you ask me for what I will, he says he hears us. Doesn't it say that, Larry? And it says, if he hears us, we have what we ask for. So Thorny, you pray according to his will. You believe that he's heard you. And you know, well, if he's heard me, well, then I have what I've asked of him. That's why this whole thing hinges on faith. Folks, I'm after prayer, and I wanted to teach on prayer because I believe at this hour, God is resurrecting the church and calling the church to pray. It's not been easy to share your faith when people are wearing masks and they're telling you to stand back, and everywhere you go, you're not allowed to talk to people, seemingly, right? It's not been as easy. But one thing the church can do right now is we can pray. If you haven't been able to pray during this season, I would say you probably will never pray. You can't go out to eat. You're not allowed to go socialize. You can't, go to any sporting events. You can't go anywhere, right? You're stuck at home. They don't even want you going to church. What have you got to do? Watch people watching Netflix all day? Come on. If you're not praying now, you're probably never going to pray. God, that's the truth, isn't it? It's sad to say. God has given you this time right now to learn to pray. I talked to somebody this week, and they said they love reading the Bible. They struggle in prayer. I said, start where you are. I want to offer grace today. I'm a grace preacher. I want to offer you grace. You know, when you were a little kid learning how to ride that bicycle, Larry, did you have training wheels? I know it was a long time ago. You know, I had training wheels. And then they put me on the bike on the hill, and I coasted down the hill, and then I was riding on the grass, and pretty soon I was out on the street. But inch by inch, it was a cinch. If you don't know how to pray or can't spend time in God's presence, take 10 minutes. Go shut your door. Sit down. Just tell God how beautiful he is for 10 minutes. Amen? You could do that. Then when you're done telling God how beautiful, say, Lord, by the way, and make your request known to God. The best thing to do is find a verse on it. Get a scripture. Say, Lord, this is what your word says. I'm just reminding you. I plead the blood over myself. Thank you for Jesus. I'm coming in his name. I'm coming under the blood. Lord, I didn't tell you I was perfect. I'm coming under the blood. I haven't done everything perfect. I'm coming in Jesus' righteousness. I'm coming under the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to ask you for this in his name. I want you to know that, Lord. I'm asking in his name. And just make your request known. And then there's so much more to prayer, but you can start right there. And there's so much to learn about prayer. But start where you are at. And I'll tell you something good to pray about. I got the verses. Lord, help me to stay on task here. Paul, in his letters in the church, you will notice over and over. You say, Brad, I don't know what to pray or how to pray. Go to Paul's letters. Go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Chapter 3. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Go to Philippians chapter 1. And there's even prayers in Thessalonians and other places. Take the prayers that Paul prayed and begin to pray them for yourself. If you don't know what else to pray, just get your Bible, turn to Ephesians 1:15 and read to the end of the chapter and pray that prayer for yourself. And then when you're done, pray that prayer for somebody else, someone that you want to get saved or someone that you know needs a healing or they need to grow or they need to know. Start praying that prayer. Paul didn't always go in. When he wrote these letters, he didn't always pray for Aunt Bertha to get healed. He prayed for the church to have a wisdom and revelation and understanding. He prayed that the light bulbs would come on for Aunt Bertha. He said, Lord, I pray that Aunt Bertha's light bulbs would come on. I pray that Aunt Bertha would know what you did when you died on that cross. I pray that Aunt Bertha knows the power that's available to her because she believes. And you are seated at the right hand of God right now in resurrection power. And Lord, we're your body and we're seated right there with you in heavenly places. And all the fullness is in your body, me. Hallelujah. I pray that Aunt Bertha gets a revelation of that, Lord. Then her bunion will fall off, Lord. So you can pray these prayers for yourself. I've said it many times. I pray Ephesians 1 for myself. I've already prayed it for myself today, Evelyn. I think I prayed it twice for myself today. I pray that prayer all the time. But there's other prayers in the Word of God that you can pray over yourself. And then I love this about Paul. Paul is like Jesus. Paul was always praying for other people. He was laboring and he wanted the church to be knit together and tied together and love each other. So one of the ministries in the church is the ministry of prayer. You can go into your prayer closet, and because Jesus has all authority on earth and he can answer your prayer, you can begin to pray for people in the body that are struggling. People that are struggling in all these different ways, you can pray that the light bulbs go on. You can pray that there'll be, you know, maybe people are fighting and squabbling in the church. You can pray that their hearts are knit together in love. You can pray that the church is rooted and grounded in love. You can pray that the church would come to experience the height and the depth and the breadth and the width of the love of Christ. God, let us know your love. I pray that old Thorny, Lord, gets to know the love of Christ. I pray that Thorny knows the height and the depth and the breadth of your love, and he comes to experience the fullness of Christ. I pray for him, Lord. I pray that your hands on him, Father. I pray that he's filled with knowledge of your will and spiritual revelation, Lord. I pray that he can choose between what's best and he can overflow and abound in love. I pray that he'll have wisdom and discernment. Those are all biblical prayers that you can pray for yourself. And you can pray them for other people. And when we pray that way for each other, God will cause other people to grow. And if you're praying that way for yourself, he'll call you to grow. Because, Sonny, Larry, it's his will. He wants to answer those prayers. And that's why it's a tragedy when we don't pray that way. Now, I don't have time to go in a lot more depth. There's different types of prayer. And I want to talk to you about a type of prayer that is little taught on. When you spend time with God, when we spend time with God, when we get to know the character, the nature, the goodness of God, the power of God, when we're in intimate fellowship, Charlie, when we're walking in the Spirit and we've spent time with God, we've told God how beautiful he is, we've worshiped with God and we're in fellowship, we can come out of prayer and there is a great exchange that can happen for you. Sandy, if I would go in my room and pray in the Spirit for an hour and I would go downtown Norick, I would almost promise you that I would have an encounter with someone telling them about Jesus. It would almost be impossible for me not to. Now, if I had not prayed, I may or I may not have an encounter. But if I would pray in the Spirit for an hour and I would put myself downtown Newark, I would bet dollars to donuts that I would run into someone to pray for. And I could tell you story after story. Sometimes it's for healing. Sometimes it's someone suicidal. Sometimes someone's in a financial need. There's all different type of things. You run into people if you have a heart for it. When you spend time with God, when we get in the presence of God, something happens, Pam, when we spend time with God. What actually happens, we're fellowshipping face to face. Remember when Moses came down from the mountain? And he probably didn't know it, but Moses had a glow about him. When you're around God, God leaves some of himself on you. There is an anointing. There is a fragrance. There is a power. There is a residue of the Spirit. When we're fellowshipping with God, we're being filled with His Spirit. We're being filled with His anointing so that when we come back in the world, have you ever noticed when you spend a good season with the Lord, all of a sudden your step has a little more bounce in it? I have been so negative, Jeff, even over this COVID time with, you know, hearing negative news. And I've talked about this already, but I'll say it again. And I'll go in my prayer closet and the Lord will change my perspective. Just like immediately and said, Brad, I told you we're going to win. I told you we're going to turn this thing around. I told you, you keep praying, you keep declaring, you keep believing, you keep speaking. We are going to turn this thing around. Don't give up. I have all authority on heaven and earth. And when we realize that Jesus has all authority on heaven and earth, it's going to change how you pray. You're going to quit tucking your tail and running from the Antichrist. When the Antichrist is ready to come, God's going to zap you out of here anyway. You're not going to have to deal with him. Amen? You're going to be gone anyway. We are not supposed to be afraid of what the devil's going to do. Jesus is the one with all authority. Isn't that right? If Jesus didn't have any authority, I wouldn't blame you for being afraid when the devil says boo. If Jesus didn't have all authority, I wouldn't blame you for being fearful about this or fearful about the Antichrist or fearful about the mark of the beast or fearful about what the government's going to do. But the fact that Jesus has all authority in heaven and in earth, you should be a fearless person. And even if you're in jail, like our brother Paul was in jail, you should be praying in jail until there's an earthquake and the stocks you're in are opened up and the angel comes and releases you and says, go back and preach. What are you going to do with a person that you can't lock up in jail? You put him in stocks and there's an earthquake and he goes back up and the guy is going to kill himself. And Paul says, hey, don't kill yourself, jailer. Don't kill yourself, political person. I'm here to tell you good news. You can be saved. Peter, what are you doing in jail? Go preach the gospel. I didn't tell you to spend time in jail. Go preach the gospel. Because all authority is given to Jesus, and if he wants to spring you out of jail, he will spring you out of jail. He looks at you and says, Sandy, you're too important to be in jail. I need you out. I need you at your beauty salon cutting hair. And I'm going to put $140,000 in your bank account to boot. I need you on the street. If God wants you out of jail, he is going to get you out of jail because Jesus has all authority. Now, there are times you may be tested, and there are times you may be tried, but you stay faithful to God for 10 days, the word says, and you're going to get a crown of life. God's going to bless you, some through the fire, some in the fire. I'm not just preaching, I'm telling you the truth. Jesus is going to have his will in your life if you trust him because he has the authority. He has the keys. Why would you fear a man? Why would you fear a spirit? Why would you fear bad news? Christians, we have got to stop spreading bad news everywhere. I mean, I know a lot of it's true. I know it's true. But we're supposed to be hearing from another world saying, that may be true, but God's been telling me this. That may be true that they're doing this, but God's been telling me this. God's been telling me that no weapon formed against me can prosper. That's what he just told me today. They said, Brother Brad, you're crazy. You ought to join the club. It's more fun over here. The crazy club is way more fun. God wants us to have unreasonable joy. How else are we going to be a light in this world if we're rubbing our hands and we're worried and we're fearful just like the world? How are we going to be a witness to anybody? They might think you're crazy, but they're going to know you're happy. They might think you're insane, but they're going to know that you have peace. They're going to say, there is something different about that Liz McCullough. She has no reason or no right to be happy, and she's full of joy, and she's full of God's peace anyway. Why? Because all authority on heaven and earth belong to Jesus right now. Larry, that's the position that you're supposed to be praying from. There is the prayer petition where you ask God. There is the prayer supplication. Do you know what the prayer supplication is? It's an entreaty. It's like taking an olive branch. It's an entreaty. It's a supplication. Lord, could it be? Lord, here, I want to give you an olive branch. I have an entreaty. I'm supplicating. It's like Esther going before the king. Lord, could it be? Would you do this for me? I've got an olive branch. It's the blood of Jesus. I got an olive branch. It's the cross of Jesus. Lord, could it be? Would you do this for my sister Pam? Would you do this for Liz? Would you do this for Jeff? I'm supplicating for Charlie. He's struggling right now, Lord. We make prayer and supplication. There's a prayer petition, but there's another prayer that I want to get to so I can end this message. If you will turn to Joshua chapter 10. Remember I was saying how when you spend time with the Lord, I know I'm preaching fast. I know that. But you can listen faster than I can preach anyway. There's another type of prayer, and I'm going to give you a couple examples of it, then we're going to close it down today. Folks, when we do worship Jesus in the beauty of His holiness, and He is beautiful, and we should worship Him for His beauty alone. That's the truth. But we still need to ask. He commands us to ask. When we spend time with the Lord, and the Lord speaks to us, and we know His will in a situation, we know what's on His mind, amazing things can happen. In Joshua chapter 10, this is the Old Testament. Larry, the Word says that the least person in the kingdom of God is greater than the greatest person in the Old Covenant. The smallest saint in the New Testament is greater than John the Baptist or any other prophet or priest that ever lived. That's what the Word says, because you're in the kingdom. You've got the Spirit of Jesus in you now. The Spirit, so you're greater. You have the greater one living in you. No matter what you think about yourself, just the fact that Jesus lives in you makes you greater than all these guys that were waiting for the promise of the Spirit. Let's look what this guy did in the Old Testament. In Joshua chapter 10, verse 12, says, "Then Joshua spake to the Lord." That's called prayer. "In the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel and in the sight of Israel. Son, stand thou still upon Gibeah. And thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed, and the people had avenged themselves upon their enemy." Joshua spoke to the sun and he commanded the sun to stand still. And it did stand still. And he commanded the moon to stand still. And it did stand still. Now, isn't that an amazing thing? This is an Old Testament guy. He knew what God's heart was. He knew God's will was to avenge the children of Israel on the Amorites. He knew he had authority, and he actually spoke out of his mouth. Now, I truly believe that type of speaking and that type of prayer can only be done when we are in union with the Spirit. You don't do that just on your own whim. You don't do that willy-nilly. I don't have time to go into it. But when we're walking in union with God and God wants to get something done in our life, when we're spending time, in fact, the more we're spending time with God, the more we're learning God, the more authority. Remember I said Wednesday night, when you're under authority, you have more authority placed on you, the more that you're going to be able to speak. Larry, when we give up, and this isn't you, Larry, but when we give up gossip and we give up slander and we give up worrying and we give up doubt and unbelief, we give up speaking whatever we want, and we learn to subjugate our tongue under the authority of the Word, we learn how to walk in authority, we learn how to control our tongue and tame it and learn to speak what the Lord is speaking, and we're spending time in God's presence, there is authority that grows in our life out of our union with Jesus. He has all authority, and He has the ability in us to rise up and to speak, so much so that the sun and the moon can stand still. Amen? Jesus, when He was on earth, walked out during a storm, and He spoke to the wind and the waves, and He just said, "Be still." And the wind and the waves stopped immediately. You say, well, that's good for Jesus. Well, Joshua did the same thing. In the book of Acts chapter 9, Peter, a couple times in chapter 9 of the book of Acts, he spoke to somebody. He said, "Ananias," he said, "walk." get up, make your bed, and walk. He didn't pray. He had already prayed. He was already in union with God. He already knew the will of God, and he gave a command. He said, walk, and the guy got up and walked. And that's the same thing that happened when he raised Dorcas from the dead. He said, Tabitha, arise, get up. He just turned to the body. He had already prayed, and he turned to the body, and he said, get up, raise up. We even have that type of authority, folks, when we're walking in union with Jesus, and he tells us his will, that we can speak to things, and they'll be just like we speak them, if we know the mind of God. Liz, in your own life, you have almost 100% control over that. And I love your progression, by the way. I won't get embarrass you. I love how your progression, sometimes things don't happen immediately, but they happen. If you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can say, you can. He didn't say, I'll say it. He said, you can say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and what you say will be just like you say it. If you have faith, just a little bit, Larry. Just the grain of a mustard seed. And it may not happen immediately, but if you have faith, it will happen. No, I truly believe, folks, we want to walk in this type of authority, then we have to learn to walk in the Spirit. Amen? And I think, Sister Evelyn, that's where praying in the Spirit will help us so much, because we get the mind of the Spirit. We get the understanding of the Spirit. We know what God wants to do. Like when we're praying for the church, we're praying in the Spirit. Someone says, well, why didn't you open the church up then? Or why didn't you open? I said, because it wasn't God's will. We were praying about it. We believe we heard from God. We believe everything goes the way we're planning. May 31st, we're going to have a heart open. We're going to open the church up. Everyone's invited. If you want to slip in next week and sit in the pews, we don't care. We're not officially open, but if you want to come in and sit down, we're not going to kick you out. But we prayed about it, and it's just, we believe that we're supposed to open on May 31st. We're going to open, Lord willing, we're going to open on May 31st because we're praying. That's all I can tell you. We prayed about it. This is what we believe the mind of God is. In our life and in our prayer, we have great authority with the Lord. We have great authority in prayer. So church, I am beseeching you, I am urging you, and I am asking you to pray. I'm asking the church to pray for our nation. I'm asking the church to pray for our president. I'm asking the church to pray about what's going on in our country right now, the opening. We're asking for God's will to be done. We're already praying into the next election, asking for God's will. We should be praying in our lives. The whole, God, I want your will and your kingdom to come in my life. Let the whole counsel of your will be done in my life. We should be praying that way. We should be praying over our children. We should be praying, Liz, we should be praying for heartbeats, praying for our kids. I never thought to target Utica and say, Lord, we want these numbers to come down. Larry, you know how we were praying during the COVID. We were actually speaking to the COVID. We were talking to it, saying, don't come into our neighborhood. Don't come into our house. We don't want you. We were praying with authority. We don't want COVID. We rebuke it. We don't want COVID. We're saying no to it. No, not in our neighborhood. We don't want you here. We're not running from it. We're like David with the slingshot. We're running at our enemies. Jeff, God doesn't want you running from your enemies. He wants you to load up that slingshot and run with the word of God in your mouth right at your enemies. Never go at the devil empty-handed. Put something in your mouth. Amen? Church, I've been trying to get this across for quite a while now. We're on a prayer campaign. We're on an anti-fear campaign. What about if the church rises up under the authority of Jesus, the one that has all power and authority, and we begin to pray from our exalted position, raised up and seated with Christ in heavenly places? Why don't we begin to pray from the position of victory? We are already seated with Christ in a position of authority. Now, is that true or is that false? What does the Bible say? We're already there. So we need to get a consciousness or a mindset that I'm praying from a position of victory. And I even, you know, our dear brother Paul had a lot of opposition, a lot of bad things happened, but he always kept an elevated view of who he was. He always kept an elevated position when he was praying, and he finished his course. How about you? Did I encourage anybody to pray today? I encourage me to pray. What might God do if the church wakes up and really starts praying? What might he do in your life? Thorny, you might take off that Clark Kent vest and put on that cape. Amen? You start praying. You start hanging around the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will scare you sometimes. He's way more bolder than we are. He ain't afraid of anything. Like, you sure about this, Lord? But God wants us to be bold. He wants us to be bold in love. He wants us to be bold in prayer. And if you're too humble to pray anything for yourself, start praying for other people then. Amen? Start praying for other people. That's all I got, Charlie. That's all I got, Charlie.